Welcome to the Save Your Marriage podcast, dedicated to all the men and women out there who are going through marital problems and want to save their marriages. Here, we give you tools, perspectives, and insight into how to save your marriage and have a thriving marriage. This podcast is sponsored by The Fortified Spouse. And now, here's your host, Arturo Henriquez.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode. Thank you very much for listening. I just want to invite all the men and women out there to book a private complimentary call with me. We will talk about your particular situation in private and give you lots of guidance and put you on the path to restoring and saving your marriage. Just go to www.fortifiedspouse.com/call. That's C-A-L-L.
You know, many times when I'm working with one of my coaching clients, one of the things that comes out of that is that we make an agreement on something that that person is going to work on for the next week. And we come back the next week and I'll ask the question, hey, how did things go? And often more than I would care to, you know, to hear about, what they tell me is actually nothing happened. So my next follow-up is, well, why? Why didn't that happen? Why didn't you follow through on what you had agreed to do? And inevitably, they always give a reason. And I've heard every single reason that there is. And I realize that the majority of time, that's not a reason at all. The true reason, and they don't tell me this, but I know, is that they're afraid. Why? Because I got scared. Now, why is that a reason? Because we all have fears. Fears are a natural part of being alive. It's what our brain does for us. And the problem is that we are in trouble if we allow our fears to dictate our actions. And that's what all these men and women are missing from this, is that fear is just a given. It's just the way it is. The brain is a fearful organism. It's there to keep you alive, to protect you. And so what your brain is doing, the deepest part of your brain, is scanning for danger points, things that should scare you, things that it needs to protect you from, even if they really aren't dangerous after all. You see, your genes that got you to here came from very cautious ancestors that had fears that kept them safe. The ones who had fewer fears became lunch, dinner, or captive. And so your ancestors were able to pass on their slightly more fearful approaches to the next generation. That means that we have an abundance of fear in our culture, an abundance of fears that come forward. And so whenever we're doing something that has any importance, fear pops up. In fact, that's exactly what fear is trying to communicate for you. This is important, so pay attention. That's the fear message. What we do instead is hear, this is unsafe, stay away. You see, most people use fear as an avoidance indicator. Stay away from that. If there's fear there, we've got to avoid it. But fear is really an important indicator. It really means pay attention. Maybe there's something that really is dangerous. Sometimes in life, your fear is telling you that there is something that is dangerous. But other times, the fear is just highlighting that this is really important to you. So why does this matter in your process to save your marriage? Because working on saving your marriage brings up fears naturally. This is a high-stakes game. You're trying to save something that is important to you, probably the most important thing. The relationship is important to you. And ironically, sometimes the very fears that people experience keep them from acting on what's important to them. If their marriage is the most important relationship in their life, it's the one they most want to work forward through. And they have these fears that block them. The fears were just trying to say, hey, this is important. Don't avoid it. That said, a marriage crisis is automatically a fearful time. And so you have doubly a fearful situation. You have your natural, fearful wiring in your brain, and then you have the fearful thoughts that are spinning around about your marriage, about your relationship, about you. And not only that, but about how you may or may not be able to make progress on your efforts. So the question is whether you can decide to not allow fear to choose your behavior, because the fears are going to come no matter what. And so today I want to highlight for you four different fears that are likely to come to you while you're working to save your marriage. And by the way, these four fears are likely going on in your spouse's head as well. And so now we have two people who are dealing or trying to deal with their fears. And so these fears, these four fears, are really about the effort to save a relationship, not about the relationship itself. And these fears are triggered when we start working to save a relationship, or why somebody might not want to work to save their relationship as it relates to your spouse right now. So let me tell you about these four different fears. The first fear that often comes up is the fear that they won't make progress, the fear that they're going to put in their effort. They fear they're going to learn all this new information, try all these new approaches, and they just won't make any progress. So that fear is one that we all share, where we all don't want to be stuck. So it's really the fear of being stuck. You know what? If I start working on this relationship and I can't get anywhere, I can't push it along, I can't get my spouse to join in, I can't get us moving forward, that's the fear that we're talking about, that we won't make any progress on our efforts. And then the efforts are all in vain. But you know what? They're not at all in vain. Anything to save something worthwhile is never in vain. It's possible that you won't be successful, but that is not the same as it is not being in vain. So here's the trick of this. The first thing is recognizing just that. It's important just to be able to say at the end of the process, you know what? I did everything I could. In fact, that to me is one of the critical bottom level pieces that I want people to be able to take from my program and really from this podcast, that they know that they had gave it everything they could. That's the bottom level. But let's go up one more level. I've had people tell me that because they're afraid that they won't make progress, they don't even start the process. And guess what? There is only one way to figure out whether you'll make progress or not. And you probably already know what that is. It's to try. Now, I was talking with a person who was a runner, and he told me that in the beginning, he just didn't know if he could run fast enough to make a team that he was trying to be a part of. But he realized that if he didn't go out and try, he would never know. And so he started going out and training, and he would get his speed a little faster and a little faster and a little faster. And one day he made the team. And he made the team running at a pace he never believed he could. But at the start of that, he had decided to try. If he wasn't going to try, he would have already missed the opportunity. Because here's the thing, if you're afraid you won't make progress, I can guarantee you that if you don't try, you will not make any progress. If you don't put in the effort, there is no way you'll save the relationship. So not acting to make progress means that you guarantee that no progress happens. That's when fear gets in our way. The fear is saying, oh, I don't even want to try this because what if I can't make any progress? Instead of saying, okay, there's a fear here, but there's only one way to determine whether I can make progress, and that's to try to make progress. And that's number one. That's the number one fear that we talked about, that we won't make progress. Number two, the fear that it will happen again. Now, this comes from the fact that many people have had many attempts to work on their relationship, only to watch it drift right back to where it was. I hear this on a daily basis. You know, we were in trouble a few years ago. We worked on it. I felt things were better. And here we are back at the same place. Or, you know, my spouse keeps telling me how they're going to change, but, you know, as soon as I give in and work on it, then things go right back to where they were, or vice versa. I'll have somebody who's working on their marriage where the spouse says, yes, I've heard this from you before. You said you would change. We're right back where we were. So part of what people really fear is that they will get back to the same place. Maybe they'll save their marriage this time, but it'll just happen again in the future. And then they have to go through this all over again. So here's the thing about this fear. It's pointing to short-term relief versus long-term change. Many times couples do things to have short-term relief. They find some way of putting a Band-Aid, a little Novocaine, on top of their problem, but they don't solve it. And so part of what happens is that when you just put some Novocaine on it, after a while, the Novocaine wears off and the pain is right back because nothing's been fixed. That Band-Aid eventually falls off. It's kind of like if you had something impaled in your foot and you keep taking pain relievers to deal with the pain, but the impalement, well, it's still there. Nothing has really changed. You're still just covering the pain, not fixing it. When you truly work to save a marriage, when you really get to the bottom, you know, when we get down to the root causes of what's happening in a relationship, rather than the symptoms that people work on, then they make real change. It's not repeating the same old patterns, the same dynamics. It's not playing whack-a-mole with the symptoms that pop up in the relationship. It's actually solving the underlying issues. Because when that happens, while you might fear it'll go back to the same place again, you've made the changes that will keep it from going back to the same way again. So the way we deal with this fear is to make sure that the changes that are happening are real changes, genuine changes, real deep changes, emotional changes, changes in patterns, changes of how the couple relates to each other, finding a truly new way of being in the relationship, which really sometimes is starting a new relationship. Which brings us to our third fear, which is it will only hurt worse down the road. It'll only hurt worse down the road is when people tell me that, you know, if they work on saving the marriage and they are ultimately unsuccessful, then not only will they have the loss of the relationship, but they'll also feel bad, worse, in fact, from the pain. You know, they will have tried so hard, they will have invested even more of themselves, and they'll be left with nothing but pain. And here's the interesting thing about this. I talked about this in another, you know, episode of the podcast, that we humans are not very good at future forecasting our feelings. Future forecasting our feelings is trying to figure out how we will feel down the road. So the first thing you need to recognize is we stink at that. We're terrible at that. We practically always fail. And the reason we're so bad at it is because we always use how we're feeling right now, today, to judge how we're going to feel in the future. And when we do that, we miss the fact that our feelings change over time, that our feelings are momentary. Think about that. If you can tell me how you felt on, let's say, 3 months ago on the 15th of that month, tell me how you feel in that day. Do you remember? I mean, you might. It's possible that you'll be the rare exception that you have a diary where you wrote down your feelings that day. But I would venture to say that you probably don't remember that far back on how you're feeling that particular day, or the day before that, or the day after that. And if I ask you to tell me how you're going to feel in a week and to make it very clear how you're going to feel, and you wrote that down and you came back to it in a week, you might be in the proximity, but you probably aren't going to be exactly accurate because you don't know what's going to happen to change down the way. So anytime we say, you know what, I'm going to feel really bad if that happens to me down the road, well, we don't really know that to be the case. See, a number of years ago, I was on a plane and I was hearing these two guys in front of me who were obviously sales representatives, both going to the same city to do the same sales work. And they started off very jovially. They're talking about what a great day it has been. And they're so excited about the trip. And then they started talking each other about their clients that they were going to go visit. And they began to note how this might be a really hard sales call. And you know, the other person really probably isn't going to be very helpful. And probably it's not going to work anyway. And by the end of the conversation, as I watched them walk off the plane, both of them were droop shouldered and entirely downtrodden about the trip. They had entered the plane excited, and now they were leaving as they were already defeated. And nothing had changed other than the fact that they kept thinking about how bad it was going to be to make those sales, which is the second piece of thinking of how bad it's going to be, how much more hurt they'll be down the road. You're already pre-planning the pain. Not only are you trying to forecast how you'll feel given something, you don't even know what will happen, but you're pre-planning the pain along the way. I also want you to recognize this, that pain is pain. If the relationship doesn't work out, it's going to hurt. But if the relationship doesn't work out and you can say, you know what, I did everything I could. I try to fix my mistakes. I try to make things better for us. I changed the things I needed to change about me. You probably aren't going to feel as much pain because you will have done what you could to kind of relieve yourself of feeling like you should have done something more. You see, many times you get to that place where, you know, something doesn't go well and we keep thinking we should have done something better. We should have done something more. We wish we had done something better. And that's even more painful than if we tried something and it didn't work. That's the problem with this. Whenever somebody says, well, it only hurt worse down the road, what they're missing is it might hurt worse when they don't take action. It will hurt worse if it doesn't work out, but it might be great if things happen to turn around because of the actions taken. The other thing is that the deepest pain is often for us when we realize there was something over which we had responsibility, over which we had choices, and we didn't act. And that's regret. And that's where this, you know, this lie, this fear is fooling us. We don't know how we'll feel. That's the truth. But we also don't know what will happen. The best opportunity is to go into this not worrying about how we will feel, but focusing on what we can do, how we might be able to change the situation to move it to where we want it to be. Now, the last fear, the fourth fear, is that you will make a mistake. That's a big fear people have. What if I start this process and I slip up? What if I make a mistake? What if I don't know what I'm doing? What if, you know, I take the wrong action? I do something I shouldn't have. I say something I shouldn't have said. I don't do something I should have done. All of those fears that are about that information. What if I make a mistake? So let me tell you now the answer to that. You will. You will make a mistake. You will slip up. You might say the wrong thing. You might do the wrong thing, but you will make a mistake and maybe a couple of mistakes. The reason I know this is because you and I are human. We won't do things perfectly. Everybody makes mistakes along the way, especially in relationships that are twisted and curvy, and this, you know, the path is sometimes very hidden. You will make mistakes. The thing is that the mistakes don't have to end your process. The task is recovering and continuing your efforts. Your task is to figure out the information you need to have in order to move forward. Yes, you'll make mistakes. The best you can do, though, is to best prepare as you're going into it by learning the best you can, by gathering the information that you trust and believe in, by making sure you follow that very same information. You need a roadmap. You have to have a roadmap. Now, sometimes when people make mistakes, because we humans have this thing called emotions, and sometimes our emotions get wrapped into this, and so the best we are doing gets snagged when a spouse doesn't react the way we want them to, and we get upset naturally. And so then our emotions get pulled into it. And whenever our emotions get pulled into it, we're likely to make a few mistakes along the way. So you will make mistakes. You can't always make sure that your emotions are 100% in check. You're going to try to, but it's impossible to do so 100% of the time. And so the way around this is to make sure you're learning the best you can. not worrying that you'll make a mistake, but how you'll recover from that mistake and how you'll keep pushing forward. Now, this last fear is the one that I can help with the most. Those other fears, you have to wrestle with yourself. But the last one is where I can step in. We have a great program that helps you make sure you can overcome this fear. You see, at the end of the day, my task with this podcast, with the program, with my mission, my task is not necessarily to stop a divorce. My task is to get you beyond the need for a divorce, because you've created a relationship that is one that you both would treasure and protect. And that I could help you achieve. Like always, thank you for listening. Now, I want to introduce you to the Fortified Spouse program that has helped thousands of women and men just like you save their marriages with an 85% success rate. It is based on four fundamental pillars. One, gain the tools to reconnect with your spouse. Two, understand the differences between men and women so we can appreciate and be more empathetic with our spouse. Three, learn how to gain inner confidence so we are no longer codependent on our spouse. And four, deal with our insecurities and triggers so we are more emotionally in control and not as easily triggered. If you're interested in learning more about these tools to immediately stabilize the marriage and postpone and delay the divorce or separation or win your spouse back from an affair, then go to www.fortifiedspouse.com and enroll in the program. It is going to change your life. It is going to make you the best version of you, and it has the highest probability of saving your marriage.
You have been listening to the Save Your Marriage podcast for men and women. For further information, visit The Fortified Spouse at www.fortifiedspouse.com. Thank you.